The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Chastain will be victorious.
The 44 did not rise on the front at all.
I mean, it shook Al Neese and all of us to our core. Why is he doing this? And is this worth doing? Bone-jarring words.
That's what happens when you try to stuff my stupid motherfucker. And I know you don't like that NASCAR, but that's the second week in a row that guy's wrecked us. You need to watch the video.
If he wants to come talk to me about it, he can. It won't be nice work.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, do you?
Reinstalling the carousel, what will they see when they go there?
A better racetrack.
Very tough corner because it's downhill, it's a big wide circle, and you're on the gas.
He's got him on the inside of turn six.
Never could have thought he'd make the pass there, but he did.
What a roller coaster.
We've got lots to talk about today on Motor Mouse. Rutledge Wood here with Kyle Petty, and Nate Ryan is in the house. Fellas, this is the dream team we've waited for.
Yeah, this is it. We've been waiting for you.
Sometimes it's one of those, but this trifecta today, when our powers combine,
right,
we make 2.5 stars. The Challenger gets 3.25 stars.
That's
hey,
it.
Let's get to the starting grid. What do you guys say? The Cup Series returns to action this weekend in California. A little wine country trip. Are road course ringers officially a thing of the past? Plus, NASCAR suspended Johnny Sauter one race for wrecking Austin Hill in the How Big a Boy Are You series. Do you agree with the suspension? A lot of tough words from those guys. And the fallout continues from Ross Chastain getting his win taken away. What does it mean for the rest of the sport in that poor watermelon? After hearing this morning, Chastain's penalties have been upheld on appeal and the ruling is final. Yesterday, Chastain joined Nate for Splash and Go and talked about the impact on both himself and his team.
I mean, it shook Al Neese and all of us to our cores on what are we doing? Why are we doing this? I think it really made him think about why is he doing this? And is this worth doing? I mean, it did. And he's a guy that wears his emotion on his sleeve just like I do. And he's honest. And he came in the shop yesterday and had some very bone-jarring words that was like, holy cow, this could have a really bad effect on all of our futures, his included in NASCAR and mine with his truck team. It's scary stuff right now, and it's that's why we just need it. We will go win this weekend, and we will keep winning.
Man, big. I mean, talk about a swing of events, right? To know, okay, I'm going to jump over here to this series. I'll drop the points I was. I'm going to go for it, and then the truck doesn't pass tech. And it's the first time NASCAR has taken a win away.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Nate on this one because you talked to him.
Yeah, well, and what you hear there is, I think what got overlooked is he also lost $50,000, which doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah.
And they toss around fines like that all the time on the Cup Series side. But for a truck team that is not so much under-resourced, but underfunded, that $50,000 was going to go towards something that was going to put a part on his truck for Gateway or the next race. And that is where I think a lot of the frustration comes from for his team owner, Al Neese, and that, hey, it's not just that you took this win away, it's that you took away a 50 grand bonus that I had budgeted for this team.
Yeah.
And on top of all that, I mean, you can speak to this, Kyle. I mean, they are the first victims of this new disqualification policy, and the policy sounds great until you are the ones who bear the brunt of it.
Yeah, and listen, I feel bad for these guys. I'm going to say that. I feel bad they lost $50,000. But if you're going to run with the big dogs, run with them or sit on the porch, one or the other. You've got to be prepared for that. You know what I mean? I mean, you shouldn't be in this business if you can't. If you're going to do the crime, you got to do the time. Okay, let's just throw all these cliches out here.
Right.
But and my point is, But because the thing is, if it was a broken part, it can happen to anybody, anytime. Anybody, anytime. Any team, no matter what your financial status is, whether you're way up here or way down here, doesn't make any difference. These guys made a commitment to make the playoffs. I mean, that's the whole reason Ross Chastain is there. We're going to come here, we're going to make the top 20, or we're going to win races and win our way into the playoffs. You know, we're going to do all this stuff to be where we need to be. This was a big blow to that, because they crossed the start-finish line thinking,
right,
success, mission accomplished.
We did it.
You know, and a short time later, their world falls apart. Everybody in our sport, as you say, I believe, whether you were the Xfinity guys out there or whether you were the Cup guys on vacation in the Bahamas, okay, you were tuned in to what was going to happen to this disqualification, because it's the first shot that NASCAR has taken, or the first time they've used this penalty. And everybody wanted to see what this penalty would, whether it would be upheld or not.
And I think teams were on board with it because
yes,
they wanted a more efficient post-race inspection process, a swifter action, a resolution that's done by Tuesday instead of waiting 3 or 4 days later. But I think doing the time after hitting the crime, I think that the problem there is, does the punishment fit the crime? I think where the team and Chastain are struggling are, hey, we don't think this was a performance advantage. If this was last year or years before, it might have been a points penalty. And now it's like there's no gray area for NASCAR here. It's either if it's not
right.
a lug nut violation, then it's we're taking the win away. It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay, good.
You're down
finally,
with that.
Finally, there's no gray area
because
NASCAR will waffle like Waffle House if you give them a gray area. Okay,
big fans
of Waffle House. They will waffle. They will never make a decision. They will not make a hard decision because they don't want to upset either side. They don't want to upset the fans. They don't want to upset the drivers. They don't want to. They make a rule and then they don't back it up. Here they made a rule. There's no gray area. They have to back it up. I applaud NASCAR for this. And I really do. I hate that it happened to Ross Chastain. And I hate that his owner comes in and says, why are we here? We're here to win races. But we have to do it in a legal manner. Sorry, that's the rules. You have to play football in a legal manner. You have to play golf in a legal manner. You have to play whatever sport it is. You have to be inside the rules. This was outside the rules. It's a black and white rule. They should be sent home. That's the way it was. If it happens in Cup, I pray they do the same thing. Because if they don't, that shows that they treat the under divisions or the lesser divisions, and I won't say lesser, lesser is a bad word, but the other touring divisions different than they treat the upper level. That's going to be the big one. For me, that's going to be the big one when somebody rolls through that room and doesn't make it at a Cup race.
Because it's probably going to happen at some point.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened.
I'm surprised
yet.
It hasn't happened.
It's stunning. It's 15 races in.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, and to your point, that financial impact, it's not just that they didn't get the win, but they basically got no money for being in the race then $50,000 tacked on. Your point is that's if you're going to play, you got to be ready for that.
You have
but
to
man,
be
it hurts.
Listen, you have to be ready. If you go out there and if I go out there and I say, and I total my truck, and I say, well, I can't play anymore because I total. What were you out there doing?
Sure.
If you were that close to the edge, you shouldn't be playing. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. And you shouldn't make that commitment to Ross Chastain or to the series if you're that close to the
edge. But the optics aren't also great for a team like Nice Motorsports that's relatively new. It's not a powerhouse team. It doesn't have big sponsors.
Gotcha.
It's not, I mean, when it happens in the Cup Series, if it happens to a Stuart Haas or a Hendrick or a Gibbs or a Penske, then I think like you can kind of it's more digestible.
In this case,
it's the optics don't work for NASCAR.
I got that. I do, but it just doesn't float with me. I'm sorry.
I get what you're saying.
Because they knew when they unloaded that truck.
Yeah.
Okay? There's the rule book. That's what it says. What it says. I say I'm going to race under those rules. And that's the way it is. I'm sorry. Give them a participation ribbon. That'd be nice.
Well, they did get 5 points.
Oh, they got five.
They got five points.
Thanks for playing. They did get some points.
I feel like you said that with derision there.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of derision.
And I don't mean to be cruel about this or harsh about it, but I have to stand on NASCAR's side on this because for a change, they're doing something.
They lived up to
what they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
And by God, I applaud them for that because so many times in the 900 years that I've been a part of this sport, They walked away with their back turned and said, oh, the optics are bad. We don't want to do that.
Right, right.
Now they're saying, we're doing it. I applaud them.
Someone else that does what they say they're going to do is our first caller, who is almost always the first Carl. Let's give it up for NASCAR. NASCAR, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
This Ross Chastain thing got me thinking about the inspection process. Now, I'm not saying Ross Chastain's team wasn't guilty, but from pre-race to post-race inspection, does NASCAR allow a little bit more tolerance because, let's say, in this case, it was height. So if it's air pressure or damage to the vehicle, do they allow a little bit more tolerance in post-race inspection than they do pre-race?
Yeah, great question, Carl. They do. You do get more, you know, and that's one of the reasons that I think you haven't seen violations yet in the Cup Series, because NASCAR really clamped down, and teams are on board with this. They said, hey, inspect us really tightly pre-race and then give us a little bit more margin of error post-race, and I think we can make this work in a way that you won't see as many DQs. So, yes, the Chastain truck passed pre-race inspection with a smaller window than the whatever it was, probably like an inch and a half or whatever of tolerance it had post-race.
That's your answer.
Okay, I was waiting.
There's no reason to add. That's your answer.
You know what? NASCAR, always great to hear from you.
Thank you, man.
We appreciate you. Let's go to our next caller. We got James from Rochester. I spent a little time up there last year. James, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, doing good, guys. How you doing today?
Good to hear you, man.
All right. Well, I got a question for you. Between Ross Chastain being disqualified from Iowa, but also with Johnny Sauter being parked for Gateway after the incident with Austin Hill, what surprised you guys the most from Iowa this past weekend in the Truck Series?
The disqualification or the suspension? Which one surprised you guys more? That's a great question, James.
I don't know, man. I'm going to say for me, the DQ.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that was one of those things that was floated out in the rules, and everybody said, whoa, that's big, but will it ever happen? You know what I mean? And now we know it will happen. So for me, that was big.
The surprising part for me is that it happened in the Truck Series.
Yeah.
And it happened, I mean, with a slightly lesser known team in this case. I'm more surprised by the Sauter penalty, actually, because I thought, given the boys have at it era, which I know you love, you're a big fan of, but I thought NASCAR would show some dispensation here and allow Sauter, even though it happened under yellow, and I think he needed to be penalized for driving through Austin Hill under yellow, I thought that they would at least allow him to race this weekend. And I also think the penalty they imposed, I think, is questionable in my mind, because now he's suspended, but he still is eligible for the playoffs, and now he's just going to go race a late model somewhere in Wisconsin or whatever. So I don't even know if the suspension really has the teeth that it should have.
Well, yeah, it true, because it doesn't have the teeth in this case with the win and you're in mentality.
Right.
It doesn't, because he's already in the playoffs, you know, as you say. So it doesn't. But at the same time, I'll go back and you brought it up the other day, and I'd forgotten all about it when we talked about it. The Kyle Busch incident of wrecking Hornaday under caution and them setting him out the Xfinity race and the Cup race.
Right.
Okay.
And in Texas, those years ago.
Yes. So the precedent was set that you wreck somebody under caution, you're going to set out a race. You know, whether it's your race or whether it's somebody else's race. You know what I mean? They can't control that he runs a late model race. That's totally different. But at the same time, under caution may be the worst time to wreck somebody. We've seen guys hit guys on pit road with their window nets down. That should be a penalty. Once your window nets down, that should be a penalty. How do you know? Because when the caution comes out as a driver, you take a breath, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's that one moment during a race, every caution, when you can relax for just a second. Then you're back up because you're thinking about, when do I got to pit and all this stuff. So where was Hill at that point in time?
Right.
Where was he
right.
in the car? Had he loosened the belt?
Right.
Had he reached over for something? I mean, you don't know where he was at in the car. So I think there's so many variables there that, to me, it's the safety aspect as much as it is what went on.
There's also potential for safety workers or vehicles being on the track during the yellow, and there's all sorts of crew members going over the wall, same thing. Yeah.
The thing that is so confusing to me, in a series where people have to, and really all racing now, have to claw so hard for sponsorship dollars, people that are willing to put that on the line to let their pride and ego take over, that's a moment for me that I'm watching going, what are these idiots doing? Don't do this right now.
But see, that's still the sport of it. Okay, that's the sport side.
Sure.
When you talk about the pride, the ego, I got to be the best. We were talking about it earlier about another driver. And that is the sport part of it. Okay. You're thinking, I got a big sponsor on the side of this car. I'm not going to do anything. You're not thinking that.
No, I'm just thinking
I'm planting this guy.
To finish first, you know what I mean? Must first finish. Yeah, and if you screw up under caution and you take each other out, my beef is that neither of you get a shot to do anything decent at the end. And that's the part that, as a fan of racing, that I sit there and go, why would you do that right now?
Why would Johnny Sauter do it?
Yeah, like,
well, I think he's
got nothing to lose.
He did it because he didn't want Austin Hill to benefit from him being spun.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's the whole idea. And I agree with Kyle.
But, like there's other races. And that's, I mean, we saw it at Martinsville with Joey. Like,
that was different.
I know it was different. Of course it was.
I'm not going.
Of course it was.
I'm not going.
But still.
I still love Matt Kenseth, even though I didn't agree with that.
I've never seen more people stand up at once at a racetrack in my life.
That was wrong.
It was crazy. Coming up, we've got a ton more, including California's Kevin Harvick, who shares his memories of racing in the Golden State, plus a look back on Darrell Waltrip's broadcasting career as he prepares to sign off at Sonoma. And we want to hear from you. Call us at 844-NASCAR-NBC or tweet us with the hashtag LetMeSayThis. NBC returns in less than 2 weeks from Chicagoland. That's right, Nate. Go crazy. But this weekend, the Cup Series is in California, where racing is a way of life for many, including Bakersfield's own Kevin Harvick.
There was a track in Southern California, inland, 120 miles north of the LA beaches, Mesa Marin Raceway. That was my track. That was where I learned to be who I am today, a racer.
Remember, Harvick from Bakersfield, he's got about 300 friends and relatives. He says, if I win this thing, you will hear a huge roar.
Mesa Marin Raceway is no longer there. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And it doesn't just exist as a memory to me. Somehow, the hot desert climate in Southern California only increases people's thirst for racing. There are hardcore, devoted race fans throughout Southern California. Some as crazy as anyone I've ever met anywhere else in the 30 years since. They are the characters, the drivers, teams, promoters, and fans that breathe life into our sport. Cup racing may be the pinnacle, but I couldn't make it here if I hadn't had to fight for it there. From day one in Bakersfield. Local racing is competitive, but at the same time, you're learning from one another. Grassroots racing is confrontational, because you're among people willing to push you to be your very best if you're going to beat them. Mesa Marin went away, but short track, knockdown, drag out racing is still alive and well. In heat races and features, in front of 5,000 people a night.
Man, I can't.
That was a good piece.
I can't see that and not think about how much fun we had doing racing routes with Kevin.
It was fun out there.
Shout out to Harvick and Luigi's.
Luigi's.
The greatest Italian you'll ever find.
It's in Bakersfield.
It's in Bakersfield, I'm telling you. Nate, it would change your life.
You'd love it.
I want to go.
That was an amazing
trip.
Cup race
to Kern County.
Yeah. So much cool racing there from the go-kart track when you guys smoked me because there wasn't a helmet big enough to fit me.
When once again I got smoked by a current
driver. It's like your cart wasn't even on.
It's like I had a one-cylinder cart running on half a cylinder.
That was
great. Kevin was great. I became a Kevin Harvick fan that week.
You did. Y'all walked in not as friends, and you left hugging, and now you guys are friends.
Yeah, I know. I really am. I'm a huge fan now.
It's pretty special. You want to get back to the phones, Nate? Yeah.
Sure.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's dial up Anthony. Anthony, you want to talk a little bit about the carousel I heard.
Ooh.
Yep, that's right. Well, first of all, before I get into that, happy 70th anniversary to the first ever NASCAR stock car race that took place at the old dirt track at Charlotte Speedway.
Oh, nicely done, Anthony.
Nice shout out, man. Nicely done. Well played.
Thank you.
You did your research on Twitter.
Thank you very much.
I like that.
Yeah, he's got a stat book, remember?
What's your question,
history
caller?
Book this time. Yeah.
Well, the question I wanted to ask you guys is this. What are your thoughts on the return of the carousel at Sonoma Raceway, but also how challenging will it be for the drivers knowing that they've never raced on this configuration before?
I'll tell you, the driver is going to have the toughest task, I think, Anthony, is the guy we just talked about last segment. Ross Chastain has never raced at Sonoma, and he's going to start Sunday's race with no practice, no qualifying, because he's going to be racing at Gateway in the truck race on Saturday. So, but he at least has the advantage of, Kyle, none of the other active drivers who will be in this race have been on the carousel, which is being used for the first time since 1998.
Thank goodness. Yes.
And so you ran the carousel.
I'm a huge fan of the carousel.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
I'm a huge fan of the carousel. I think they made a mistake and they changed the race for the fans so the fans could see it. It went to a stadium-style racetrack is what Bruton tried to do out there. And it was a good thought. Let's change the road course so that you can see the racetrack from a lot of different areas.
Sure.
Because where the carousel is, you can't get over in the middle of the racetrack and there's not fans over there. There haven't been. Now, I'm not sure that Bruton's not going to helicopter people over there because he could do that.
He could. You know what I mean? He definitely could.
But I'm just saying that you couldn't see it. But it's a great passing zone. You can pass inside. You can pass on the outside, slower cars. Somebody that's holding you up, that's a great place to go in, outbreak them getting into it, outbreak them at the far end of the racetrack. I don't even know what the numbers of these turns are anymore. Yeah. They've changed it so much. But the carousel adds a ton to this racetrack. I think it's going to be a better race. I think the drivers are going to love it.
They are, because it's hard not to smile as you're doing it, because I did it for
like a drifting corner.
Yes.
It's honestly like a drifting
corner. For 24 Hours of Lemons, we did that once for Taku. The crazy part is it also makes an almost hairpin at the end you got to come back down.
But as you go over the hump, and then you go down, it almost feels off camber. Yeah. And you get out, and then it comes down, and then it just flattens out. Mm-hmm. It just flattens out into the drag strip. So there's a lot of different variables on how this suspension and the cars they run now are going to react is going to be interesting.
Because at the end of that drag strip, then they just go 90 degrees right, and then 90 degrees right again.
Yeah, right around.
It's going to be awesome, Anthony.
What kind of car were you running at the 24 Hours?
It was a lemonade stand that used to be a cop car. We had a little bit of weight. It didn't work to our advantage.
Yeah.
Had a great
probably
time.
Probably not optimum for conditions.
No, I'd love for you to watch it.
We should do it in the minivan. Just stay in the van. Never get out. All the drivers just rotate.
Oh, that's a great
idea. And never
idea.
Get out of the car.
We can do that.
That would be cool.
I know, guy. Let's take another call. I think we got my buddy Marvin Blue on the line. Marvin.
Hey, what's up, Rutledge? Hi, Kyle. And greetings, Nate. How you guys doing this afternoon?
Greetings. We're great, buddy.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got a question for you guys. I think this may be a brain buster for you, Rut. Who do you think is going to win the pole, and who is going to win the race at Sonoma on Sunday?
Ooh, two good questions, Marv. Let's see. Who do you think's going for the pole? Is it the same? Okay. What's your heart tell you?
I have no idea.
Just give me a guess.
Ross Chastain.
Ross Chastain.
He can't.
That's going to be difficult.
Oh, you can't pick.
Sorry. That's going to be
difficult.
That's
what my heart told me. That's what I'm on. Because, that's an underfunded team, and they just had an issue last week.
I see what you're doing.
Noted. I'm trying to get back in with fans.
If 39 other people fail inspection, Ross could possibly, I think.
Listen.
Get the pole, but then he'd get moved to the back of the field.
You know who
that would be almost a definition of irony, right?
I think Denny Hamlin. Denny's going to have a good week.
Yeah,
I really do. But I don't. Of the Gibbs teams, he's not been the guy. Even though we go back to Daytona, we go back to these races, but a guy who's run up front, led a bunch of laps, and won a race so far this year. I think this may be his week.
I'm going to go with Harvick with the Bakersfield karma we just watched. He should have won this race a year ago.
True.
Got outsmarted by the Truex's team, and California guy. Very proficient on road courses. He's going to win at some point, maybe this weekend.
I'm going to pick, Marvin, I'm going to pick Kyle Larson for the pole because there's not a ton of walls that he won't he's not going to find that edge.
Wow. When I heard this drifting corner, that does sound like a
he's going to be amazing. I said that with love, but I'm going to say Our buddy Daniel Suarez jumps up, grabs that win. It would be awesome to see.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But yeah, I mean, there's so many favorites there.
Yeah. I hope Michael McDowell and those guys run good.
Me too.
Seriously.
Me too.
Yeah, he's a road racer.
It's hard to tell where the genuine line is.
Yeah, no, you can't tell after when I'm serious or not.
Not a shot's fired over here today, you guys. We're going to get back to your phone calls when Motor Mouth continues.
It's tough sometimes.
Greetings. Welcome to NASCAR America Debrief. Nate Ryan here with Marty Snyder.
He loves that.
Kyle Petty.
He loves
I love that.
And Tyler Reddick.
Greetings.
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 Jeff always loves it when I say greetings.
I that greetings, all the time in
South Boston.
Yeah, we're starting to show with greetings.
So good. Right? You guys,
I like that. I like that.
You like that? That's a good catchphrase.
I do. I like that.
Thanks.
Let me say this. Let me say this.
Let me say this. Greetings.
Greetings. You guys can join us for the YouTube after show after this show. So if you don't get your call on, you can hang out with us for the NASCAR America
Debrief. It's dry in here. His throat. He's having a throat.
It's like the Sahara in here.
It's dry in here.
Go to youtube.com/motorsports on NBC. Guys. Let's get back to the phone, shall
okay.
we?
Okay.
Let's
we?
Go to Gary.
That's going to be your one.
On line 12, shall we?
Hello.
Gary, what's on your mind? How you doing, pal?
Good. I'm doing real good. Why is there a double standard when it comes to racing, like Xfinity or Truck Series? Oh, they'll suspend you quick. But when it comes to the Cup Series, they'll look the other way. Like if Kyle Busch or Tony Stewart does something wrong, they won't do anything.
But they did. They suspended Kyle Busch and they suspended Matt Kenseth for wrecking people intentionally.
Yeah, they have in the past. I understand. Go ahead. Go. After you, please.
But that was in the past. How about now? Is there too much money involved?
Well, wait a minute. So tell me something that's happened now that somebody should have been suspended.
Well, actually, I don't know everything right off the top of my head because I've
Well, there you
races.
Go. There you go. You know what I mean? And that's what we're trying to say. There's nothing happened recently that somebody should have been suspended for. I think that's what we were talking about earlier. I applaud NASCAR because this is a black and white rule. There is no wiggle room for NASCAR in this situation. They can't waffle one way or the other. They have to make that call.
You could go back 9 years ago and say, well, they didn't suspend Carl Edwards for wrecking Keselowski.
And they should have.
I know you think they should have.
They should have.
But since then, they've been relatively consistent. 2011, Kyle Busch. Yeah. 2015, Matt Kenseth.
Yeah, they've been a lot more consistent. So I understand what you're saying. And here, they have always given the impression that they will never suspend a superstar. And that's going to be the threshold that they have to cross for me to say, okay, they're straight up. They're going to have to disqualify one of these top drivers, a past champion, or one of these guys who are winning consistently on the Cup level to make guys like you, guys like Carl here, to make him believe there is no double standard.
So Kenseth didn't quite prove that to you then. You need to be like Kyle or Harvick.
No. I'm just saying from a disqualification.
Oh, from a disqualification.
Disqualification. Okay. I'm saying from a disqualification standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? When they do that, because the Carl thing, if we go back to the Carl thing, that was at Atlanta.
Right.
And Carl's sponsor was Turf Saver or whatever it was. I can't remember what
Scott's?
It was. Scott's, who just happened to be sponsoring the race the next week at Bristol.
Oh, really?
So how are you going to suspend the driver of the Scott's car when it's the Scott's 500? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's where the optics are bad. When you talk about optics, that's where the optics are bad. And that's why NASCAR has had the reputation, I believe, of favoritism towards the Cup guys and not really suspended. They're going to have to suspend somebody at some point in time.
Hopefully not us. Gary, great call. Let's
call,
go to the
man.
Next call. We got Jane on the line. Jane, what's on your mind?
I have one more question about the Sauter incident. He definitely got pushed into the wall by Austin Hill. Why didn't Austin Hill get any kind of a reparation? Seems to me
question.
He ought to be punished some way or another.
Well, I understand what she's saying. Okay. But at the same time, I go back to that NASCAR's, the most stupid saying NASCAR ever came up with, boys have at it, where they just let them race.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't make that call. And they don't really do anything about it until something like this happens. So in NASCAR's view, in the past, and it appears it happened again at Iowa, they take the stance that that was just racing. All the bumping, all the knocking out of the way, everything that was going on was just racing. You stepped over the line when the yellow flag was out and you run into somebody.
I mean, the difference for me is that was for position and under green.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot different when you're wrecking a guy intentionally under caution. I mean, did Hill knock him out of the way to gain that position and send Sauter? Well, yes, he did, but that's something that happens virtually during every short.
Let me ask this question then. If Sauter had done that, but under green, would he have gotten the penalty?
I think that would have been fair game.
Yeah. But if he had done it on the penalty, he would have just spun him. He wouldn't have spun him, drove through him, tried to spin him again, and drove through him again. I mean, it was a
continuum. He stopped, got lunch, then went right back into his door again.
Time to go again.
Okay. All right, noted. Let's get another call in because you guys are flying through there. We're going to Sam in College Station, Texas.
College Station, Texas. Woo! Texas World Speedway.
We was Aggies.
Woo! That's Texas World Speedway.
Louis, Sam, what's your question?
Man? Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good, buddy.
All right, so I was just wanting to propose a potential rule change. I like the current NASCAR playoff format. I think it could just be a little bit better if they eliminate the win and you're in aspect of it, because I feel like if you win the Daytona 500, I don't think you should be talking about a clinched playoff spot. Likewise, if you're like Chris Buescher, I love the guy, but if he wins a rain-shortened race, I don't think he should be considered a championship contender, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? In the record book, it doesn't say he won rain-shortened race. It just says he won, he got the trophy, he got the money, he's in the playoffs. That's the way this game has always been played. And I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I think the win and you're in was created, correct me if I'm wrong, for the fans.
Yeah.
To make people race every week as hard as they could race.
Right.
So you can't back away from something. Well, you can. But I think NASCAR created it for the fans.
They wanted to get away from the I had a good point stage.
Yeah, I had a good point stage.
That stage racing took another step toward that.
That's a good.
Yeah.
Those are good thoughts, though.
I mean, I think it's good to incentivize guys.
And are you happy? Do you like the way it is right now?
The win in your end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Cool.
I like it because win and you're in, but points still matter. Stage points matter. There's so much that we talked about that really came to a head last year, when we had the big three winning all the races and all the points. Once the playoffs started, they were almost guaranteed a trip to Homestead. But at the same time, it got kind of close there for Harvick, I think. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some of the bad luck he had. So you still have to perform on a weekly basis.
And it should be that way in all the series, you think, the top touring series, right? Truck and Xfinity, not just Cup.
Okay, I will say, I'm going to go on record and say this. I think Truck, Xfinity, and Cup should all be the same because it makes it easier for the fans to keep up with.
Completely.
I mean, when they're different and a fan is watching an Xfinity race and something happens and they're like, oh, that's that. No, it's not, because that's the Xfinity series. That rule doesn't apply to the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for straight across the board, for the continuity from a fan perspective, if we're going to make this fan friendly and for the fans, then I think you should have rules that are, especially the major rules, should be straight across the board.
I like your style,
Nate.
I bet you agree.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Well said.
Kyle Petty fan.
Right?
There we go.
Salute to NASCAR legend is part of our shout outs. We'll have those for you next.
Every week, I go in the TV booth. This is a whole new show for me, and there's something going to happen today that we can laugh about, or something that's going to happen today that we can, you know, dig deep into and explain. And you know, that's just how I do it. And my legacy is somebody says, "Well, DW told me this," or "DW said do it this way," or "I do it this way because that's the way DW does." It's like boogity boogity boogity. Look, you got something better? Bring it. You think there's a better way to start a damn race? You just bring it on, and we'll find out. That's how I do it.
That is fantastic. Wow, that's a good
yes.
way to put it. Nate, I think you should start the shout-outs today.
Shout out to Darrell Waltrip for being on the NASCAR and NBC podcast ahead of his final race with Fox Sports at Sonoma. 40-minute conversation. We got Pete DW, I thought, through most of it. Said some very interesting things. Maybe the most interesting was that Sonoma might be the final race he ever attends.
Wow.
He's been in racing since he was 12 years old. He's 72 now, and if he doesn't have anything to do with the track, he might never be seen at a racetrack again. So
that's serious.
I'm looking for the BS flag on that one. I'm looking for the BS flag. He'll be back, believe me. What can you say about DW that he hadn't already said about himself? I mean, honestly.
I feel like we broke a little bit of new ground on this podcast.
That's good. I think we did.
That's good.
Yeah. You should listen. I want to say a big shout out to DW because when I showed up all those years ago from a Craigslist ad at Speed Channel, DW was always very nice. Of course, there was a little bit of like, why are you here, weirdo? Yeah. Once we got past that, super guy, love you, man. I'm really happy for you. Over 330 races that guy called since 01. That's insane.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And listen, in all honesty, he changed. There's been guys who have come into the sport that changed the sport. He changed the sport. He did. When he came in the 70s, he changed and tried to change that perception of what a NASCAR driver was. From a Pearson and a Petty and a Yarborough and the Allisons and guys who had come up that way, he came up kind of the same way, but he wanted to take the sport in a different way. And I think he started directionally to move the sport. That's why he got the nickname Jaws from Kale and those guys, because it became a media event for him. It wasn't just a race. It was the race and how he handled the media, eventually becoming a part of the media. He's done a great job and been a great ambassador for the sport.
For sure. Can we give some more shout-outs?
Yeah,
I'm going to give a birthday shout-out to one of my favorite racers ever, David Strimme. This guy can wheel anything. It's his birthday. True. Happy birthday to you, buddy.
Yes.
Miss seeing you at the track every weekend, but man, you can find him at a track every single weekend. Oh, and it's our buddy Jeremy Sides' 40th birthday. You can't see him.
Oh, yes.
He's off camera, but his hair looks great, too.
Right there.
Do you have any other shout outs, Nate?
I do, actually. Shout out to the Kyle Petty Cheer
Drive. Oh, yes, thank you.
Announced yesterday that it's raised $1.7 million on the 25th anniversary edition.
Big year.
Dude,
that's great job, my man.
Coast to coast.
Coast to coast.
$1.7 million.
David Reagan right there.
The lives that will change with the kids going to camp is phenomenal. Man.
There we are at whatever it is.
There it is.
Washington. Why am I blank on Yakima? I could not remember.
Well, it was a long trip.
Yeah, 3,000 miles.
Yakima was a blur. Donnie Allison had raced there before. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's where Derek Cope and Chad Little and I think Casey Kane, they raced there as they grew up. So that was good. Thank everybody.
Big
came
shout
out. It was awesome. The
more than 25 million now for the duration?
No, we should be. I don't even know what it is now for the duration.
It's, We're close.
We're close. We're close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check it out. KP Charity Ride.
I'm bad with
amazing. Kyle Petty Charity Ride. All the riders and family and supporters.
Thank you, guys.
That's huge. We got more of your phone calls when we come back here on Motor Mouth. 1.7 mil.
Yakima. Why come out? I remember Yakima. I mean, how do you forget that?
And I've got a nice.
I'm going to get to 63 because 63 is such a pivotal year for your dad.
In our nation.
And in this nation.
Yeah.
If I lay your dad's year out and I lay the civil rights movement out and I go to a letter from a Birmingham jail, a little bit later in that year we have the I Have a Dream speech. We have Kennedy sending the National Guard to the University of Alabama to allow two African Americans to enter the school.
Both the students are 20 years old. Will take summer courses.
And then on November 22nd, we have the assassination of a president.
Right.
Then on December 1st, right after the assassination,
1963.
Wendell Scott wins at the highest level of NASCAR.
You know, as mystical as it sounds, you know, he was, we know that a lot of things in life we can't explain, but he was moving on that level of time. And I really believe that as I've reflected back and thought about it, you know, it was something that was destined.
You can see the full conversation between KP
Please.
And the Scott family at the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel. We don't say it enough, man. I really love what you guys are doing
good,
with
man.
That.
Listen, Joel does a great job, you know that. But that is talking to the Scott family about their foundation and what they're trying to do with the Wendell Scott Foundation and talking that history. And that 10 years, the 60s, just talking the 60s, and what he went through during the civil rights era, and what he went through as a driver with fans and stuff like that, it was fascinating. Every time we do with these, whether it's with Helton or Childress or something, I went to the racetrack during that period of time, but I learned something from these guys, so that was fun.
I bet you did. I bet you did. Check it out on YouTube. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Ben on line six. Ben, what's on your mind?
I'm curious why Martin Truex did not get penalized for dumping Jimmy Johnson after the Roval race. Yeah.
Oh, last fall. Yeah. Because he's in the cup level and they don't penalize superstars.
I mean, the race was over, for one thing. I mean, that's sort of like been in bounds typically, right?
I mean, and I will say, back to that, you're right. Because it seems like if we go back, the race was over and there was nothing to be gained, nothing. We've seen guys run into each other on pit road and not be penalized. We've seen guys turn each other around on pit road after the race was over with. Nobody's penalized. So I don't know if it's a checkered flag or what, but they've been, you can go back and I can defend that point.
Yeah.
Because the race was over.
Here's the other thing. I mean, Martin Truex Jr. gets some dispensation because he got spun out like 30 yards from the checkered flag. Yeah. He was going to win the race when Jimmy Johnson took him out. So that's another thing I feel like kind of gets lost in this Sauter discussion. I mean, it's a couple of guys racing for like, what was it, like 10th or 11th?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like the stakes weren't as high where I think Kenseth and Logano, I think that factored in the Kenseth penalty. Yeah. He took out a guy from making the championship.
I take offense
to
that because obviously you never raced for 10th or 11th.
I have
like
not.
I did.
I have not.
So it was important.
I can't relate to the mid-pack driver. I'm sorry.
It's really good.
I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding.
You know, a move we don't see enough is I always like the classic. Kyle did this to me a bunch at the Long Beach race. He would park so I couldn't open my door each time we would come back in. And I thought, this is hilarious. We don't see that enough. Joey, line one, what's on your mind?
Yes. Ah, that was great, Kyle. You just put him in his place. I love it. I would like to say it's an honor to be on the phone with you, Mr. Petty. Besides that, I will get to my question. What are your thoughts on Haley Deegan's win recently here in Colorado?
You know what? I've watched the race on TV. That's all I can say. But you know what? I thought here, you know, they had beat, they bang, they spin, they win. That's the way it goes. I'm sorry. That's what this series is. That's what a lot of short track racing is. And that's what it comes down to. And I think this girl has talent. I think this, as a driver, I say girl, I'm going to take that out of the equation. I'm going to say this driver has talent.
Yeah.
As a driver, she has talent. And she has shown by that move and by other moves that she's made, she's not afraid to go door to door.
Every race anybody. She's won, I think, in the K&N series, seems to have come on a bump and run.
But she's not afraid to do that.
But she gets credit for that, and no less an authority than Mark Martin today on Twitter said she has amazing car control.
Yeah.
So if you're
amazing
praising
car
her
control.
And he's praising her, that says it all.
And she's not going to back down. That's what more than anything else, and when you come into a series as a rookie driver, as a young driver, the older guys will test you. Other drivers will test you to see how far they can push you. She's shown right off the bat, you're not going to push me. You know what I mean? And that speaks volumes for who she is as a person, but who she is as a driver.
Well, you know what? You're not going to push me because I'm going to take us to break. If you're on the phone, hang with us. It is almost time to open up the Twitter mailbag. Let me say this is next.
Let me say this.
Hey, Kyle, let somebody else talk for once.
But I'm telling you something.
But I'm going to tell you. And listen.
Man, you talk a lot.
I will say it forever.
As usual, we end the show with your
better.
Feedback
and
hashtag let me say this. Nate.
Hashtag let me say this. We had a record for Twitter engagement today, by the way. So thanks, everybody, for the tweets. I'll start with Dave Goddard, who feels that Ross Chastain getting disqualified was ridiculous. Why wasn't this picked up in pre-race and rectified? These trucks get damaged during races. KP, do you have any answer to that?
No. He's pretty adamant about what he believes. Even though it's wrong, he's pretty adamant about it.
Hashtag let me say this. Some pro NASCAR, pro Kyle Petty tweets. Joey at Joey Tech 93 says, I'm glad NASCAR is being consistent and taking interpretation of enforcing the rules. Luke Rainey at Luke Rainey 3 says, I'm not a fan of the fact they take away the entire win. I liked it before when you only lost the benefits of the win. Imagine going to the track, watching someone win and celebrate, and then learning 2 or 3 hours after you left, the guy in second place won.
You want me to apologize for that?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any?
No. If you're illegal, you don't win. I mean, I can't help that NASCAR's given the win to illegal cars in the past, but now they've decided they're not going to do it. Sorry. Yeah.
That was always the thing. Like, NASCAR didn't want to strip wins because they didn't want you to learn later. But
they want the fans to cry on the way home.
At Humpty Ump, obviously a Digital Underground fan here. Hashtag, let me say this. If I were an owner in any NASCAR series, I would tell my driver to do the biggest burnout you could on the infield to tear up the front end. And then you'd have, I guess, virtually an excuse for if you were too low.
Hmm. Yeah, good point. An underfunded team. Do a burnout, blow up your motor, tear up your truck, but get the win.
Ironic, because Humpty Dance is such a good song. That was a terrible notion.
Yeah. What's your point?
Hashtag, let me say this, from Jen Saros.
Jen, I'm sorry for throwing trash in your front yard. I really am.
She seems to have gotten over. She loves you and Rutt. Do you think the feud with Johnny and Austin will continue over the coming races? I think yes. I don't think it's over.
As long as they continue to be competitive with each other. Right. You know what I mean? But if one's going to run first and the other one's going to run 15th, there is no feud.
All right, I got one more for you. At 56Biker, hashtag, let me say this. Daniel King wants to know, did Uncle Maurice ever bend the rules?
Ever?
Ever.
Ever?
Not once.
Not once.
All the decades of NASCAR competition for Penny.
Every day. Let's just go pre-90-something.
Golly.
Everything was...
Did you say golly?
Golly! I've been watching MeTV all week.
I can tell.
So I think if you look at... Everybody bet the rules. Sorry. That's the way it was.
That's right. Competitive
And they kept the win, too.
Yeah, they did. That's it for Motor Mouse. Head over to Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel for the debrief. Nate Ryan's in the house. We'll see you guys there.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.